Well, I don't know if you have made any New Year's resolutions this year, maybe to eat less, to work less, to save more, to come to the lunchtime service more regularly, to bicycle to work, I don't know. I don't know also whether you can remember back to the start of last year and any New Year's resolutions that you made at the start of last year, and more importantly, whether you managed to keep them. For me, 2005 last year was the year of trying to get fit, of taking exercise. So I joined a gym in January, just over there. I joined the gym and I intended to go to the gym 3 times a week. If you were here once at the start of last year, you may remember me talking about the first ever time that I went to the gym. I managed to fall off the running machine. It wasn't a great start. And I'm afraid it didn't get a lot better as the year progressed. I never once managed to go 3 times in 1 week. I think on average, sort of from January through to October, I probably averaged about once a fortnight going to the gym. And in November and December last year, I didn't go a single time at all. It was rather pathetic. Anyway, a few days before Christmas last month, I realized I'd had enough. And so I sloped into the gym rather sheepishly. No gym kit in sight, absolutely no intention at all of doing anything that even resembled a workout. I really just went into the gym for one reason, and that was to speak to the gym administrator to tell her that I would not be renewing my membership for 2006. Now, it is pathetic, I know. And the question I've asked myself at the start of 2006 is why? Why could I not keep going with my exercise regime through 2005? Why couldn't I do it? What stopped me keeping going? And as I thought about it, I thought there were probably 3 reasons which stopped me. And let me publicly shame myself, as it were, and let you know what I think those 3 reasons are. I think the first reason is this: personal weakness. I mean, let's face it, I'm lazy. So that was the first reason, personal weakness. But I don't think it was just that. I think there was a second reason too, and that is what I've called external factors. It's not just that I'm lazy. There were external other reasons as well. The reason I didn't go to the gym at all in November and December was that was the birth of our first child. That's kept me pretty busy the last few months. So there were some external factors as well. So we've got personal weakness, external factors, and then I think the third reason is probably isolation. Now, let's face it, the gym is fairly boring, isn't it? I mean, it is an isolated, individual activity. You're all by yourself, and you're particularly all by yourself when you go to the gym with your wife, and all your wife wants to do is go to the aqua aerobics class. I mean, I'm not going to go to that. So it very much isolation was a third reason involved. So those are the 3 reasons which stop me keeping going. But I think as well, those are also 3 reasons that could stop us keeping going as Christians. Personal weakness. In other words, our sin. External factors, whether that's in the form of suffering or success. And then isolation. By that, I guess I mean the dangers of solitariness, of not being linked up with other Christians. Now, I don't know how each of you is feeling about your Christian life at the moment. But I would guess that in a gathering like this, all of us will be struggling with at least one of those at the moment. At least one of those will be causing an issue to such an extent that we are in danger of stopping keeping going as Christians. Be it a sudden sort of jacking it all in, or probably more likely just through a gradual drift. And so that little passage that Susan read for us, in the middle of the book of Hebrews, really it's a little masterclass, if you like, a little masterclass in how to ensure that you and I, that we keep going as Christians throughout 2006, indeed, right to the end of our lives. And in the passage, we get three solutions, 3 tips, if you like, for keeping going. And each tip, you probably noticed it as Susan read it, each tip starts with that little phrase, "let us." You'll have seen that again and again, "let us." Now, before we look at those 3 tips, I'd just love us to note one thing. All 3 of these tips, they all hang on verses 19 to 21. Verses 19 to 21, if you like, are the foundation. And I'd summarize verses 19 to 21 as saying this: saying this: Jesus' death has done everything needed for us to have a relationship with God. Jesus' death has done everything needed for us to have a relationship with God. In Old Testament times, in the temple at the very centre was the most holy place, which is talked about there in our first verse, verse 19. The most holy place, it symbolised the very presence of God. And you couldn't see the most holy place. You couldn't enter into the most holy place because there was this giant, huge, thick curtain hanging across the entrance. The curtain, it sort of acted like a giant no-entry sign for humans. It was a visual demonstration of the problem that exists between humankind and our Maker. He is perfect. We are not. It was a giant no-entry sign. Yet what does our verse say? Just have a look at our verses. They say, we now have confidence to enter this most holy place. In other words, we now have confidence to come into a relationship with God. How? There's this massive no-entry sign. How? Well, look at how it continues. How? By the blood of Jesus. By a new and living way opened for us through the curtain that is his body. I wonder if you remember what happened as Jesus died. The curtain in the temple, this very curtain, it was torn in two. As though this giant no-entry sign was removed. Jesus' death has done everything that is needed for us to be able to have a relationship with God. Trusting in Jesus' death, it's the way into a relationship with God. We'll hear more about it next week at the half-hour lunch. It's the way into a relationship with God, but it is also, it's the way on in a relationship with God. It is the foundation for us keeping going as Christians throughout our lives. So as we look at these three tips that we're going to see about keeping going as Christians, let's remember that they all stem from this foundation of verses 19 to 21. So the first tip, in response to the danger of our own personal sin, the first tip is let us link up to God. Let us link up to God. Have a look, if you will, at the first let us. It's in verse 22. Just look at verse 22, if you will. Verse 22, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Now let's face it, every day of your and my Christian lives, we're going to let God down. We muck up, we sin, sometimes in smaller ways, sometimes in more extreme ways. And as a result, we come to doubt whether we're really forgiven. And we feel as though that curtain that Jesus' death destroyed, we feel as though it's been hung back up. As though there is once again this big no-entry sign to God because of our sin. But that's not true. We are forgiven people as Christians. Not just tolerated by God, but welcomed in by him. Now, of course, sin spoils our relationship with God. But sin cannot separate us from him. So if you are here today with a guilty conscience, maybe for a specific sin, like me, just for sort of a general knowledge of apathetic half-heartedness, indifference towards God the last few weeks, Please don't drift further from him. Don't drift further from him. Rather, in the face of our sin, let us link up to God. You see, the best indicator of you or I growing, maturing in our faith, it is not how sorted we look. It's not how many Bible verses we can memorize. It's not how many gospel conversations we've had with our colleagues. The best indicator of you or I growing in our faith is actually an ever-decreasing length of time between us sinning and us then coming to God to say sorry. A reducing of time, a smalling of time between us committing a sin and us coming to God in prayer to ask for forgiveness. I wonder if that's a challenge for some of us here. Maybe we've been sitting on some sin for ages and ages and actually we've never been linking up to God. We've never been, as our verse says, drawing near to him in prayer to have our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience. So in the face of our sin, let us link up
to God.
Let's move on to the second tip. The second tip for keeping going as a Christian is this. Let us link forward to heaven. Let us link forward to heaven. So often it is troubles or sufferings in our lives that make us swerve off course as Christians. So perhaps it's the sort of general suffering of living in this world, maybe illness or heartbreak or tragedy that causes us to doubt and give up. Or perhaps it's the ridicule that we've suffered for being a Christian that's the final straw for us. You see, that was the challenge for the recipients of this letter to the Hebrews. Just look down, if you will, at verse 32. Look at the situation for them, down in verse 32, towards the bottom of the page. Look at that. It says there, remember those earlier days after you'd received the light, when you stood your ground in a great contest in the face of suffering. Sometimes you were publicly exposed to insult and persecution. At other times you stood side by side with those who were so treated. You sympathized with those in prison and joyfully accepted the confiscation of your property because you knew that you yourselves had better and lasting possessions. So do not throw away your confidence. That's what it says there at the top of the next page. Do not throw away your confidence. You see, as the tough times continued, the recipients of this letter, they were tempted to give up, to throw away that confidence. And for us, it may be the same. In the tough times, we're tempted to throw away our confidence, to give up on Jesus. So it could be the tough times. It could also, though, be the good times. We can swerve, can't we? We can swerve not just to avoid difficult things, but we can also swerve towards good things. As we succeed at work, as we fall in love, as we have a child, we can swerve towards them, and our primary goal can become something very different from Jesus and being with him in heaven. And let me tell you quite frankly, it's been a real challenge for me the last few weeks with the birth of our first daughter, Daisy. Because I've been asking myself, actually, what has been my supreme goal for her? Because actually, what is my supreme goal for Daisy is a very good indicator of what my supreme goal for myself is in life as well. And the last few weeks, I have been really, really challenged because I have found, as I've thought about it, I found myself far more interested in thinking about what Daisy is going to look like when she grows up. Or far more interested in what Daisy's IQ is going to be. I found myself far more interested in those things, her looks, her intelligence, of whether she's going to come to know and love the Lord Jesus. And so if you're like me, tempted to swerve due to suffering or success, well, verse 23 is the solution. Have a look at verse 23. What does it say? Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. Now that hope is heaven. You see, you or I, if we're a Christian, then every single reason why you or I should not be in heaven, every single reason has been nailed to the cross with Jesus. It is 100% certain, if you're a Christian, that you are heading to heaven. Because it's not down to you or I, it's down to God. And he is 100% reliable. Just look at how this verse continues. Look how verse 23 continues. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. There may be pain now. There may be difficulties as a Christian in our external circumstances, but it would be ridiculous to give up on Christ when we have the certain hope of heaven for eternity. That makes it worth putting up with anything in this life. At least it should do. So let us link up to God, let us link forward to heaven, and then thirdly and finally, the third tip, let us link across to each other. Let us link across to each other. I guess near the start of this new year, it's quite a good time to ask ourselves how we treat this meeting on a Thursday lunchtime as we all gather here. How do we treat this meeting? How do we see it? I wonder if many of us, we see it a bit like a petrol station. We come in to refill our spiritual tanks. Of course, there happen to be other people on the forecourt as well, but essentially this is an individual activity. So we come in, we fill up, and then we head out back to work. Now I know for most of us, our primary church family is somewhere else. wherever we happen to live, perhaps we go to church near there. But the fact is, isn't it, that the world we live in is one where the majority of our waking hours are spent in the place where we work. And the fact is, too, that one of the biggest dangers for Christians in terms of keeping going throughout our lives is isolation, solitariness. And for many of us, we are very isolated. If we're a Christian, we're often very isolated in our workplace. I know many of you are the only Christian that you know of in your workplace. You see, verses 24 and 25 here, they apply just as much for us here as they do for our Sunday church families. They tell us how to counteract the danger of solitariness, the danger of being isolated as Christians. Just have a look down, will you, at verses 24 and 25. Look at verse 24. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing. But let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Now these verses, they are encouraging us, aren't they, to link across to each other. In fact, they're encouraging us to do that in at least three ways. It says there we should be considering others. It says we should be meeting others. It says we should be encouraging others. And as we see that, I guess we realise that this shouldn't be a petrol station for us. It shouldn't be just some sort of isolated experience where we come in, fill up, out we go, without actually linking across to others. So maybe for some of us, we need to think what that means for us in terms of getting to know others here, in terms of coming along regularly, in terms of asking others how they are, how they're finding their time in the workplace, in terms of seeing how we can support one another practically and in prayer, in terms of encouraging one another and inviting colleagues along to next week's half-hour lunch. In terms of just sitting next to someone and saying hello. Now, I don't say this sort of as a means of ticking us off, but I do say this genuinely, wanting us, as a group of people meeting together in the middle of busy weeks, wanting us just to be thinking how we can be linking across to each other to help us all keep going in our walks with Jesus. So as we finish, as we rejoice in verses 19 to 21, that Jesus, his death has done everything that is needed, everything for us to be able to have a relationship with God, let us be those who keep going to the very end. Let us link up to God. Let us link forward to heaven. Let us link across to each other. Let's close with a prayer. And I'm going to finish by praying some very relevant verses, I think, from the letter of Jude in the New Testament. So let me just pray now. To him who is able to keep us from falling and to present us before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God, our Saviour, be glory, majesty, power, and authority, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.